The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
All right, we're here on Lion's Roar. Is that a little louder? Oh, all right, we're good. We're here with head track coach George Pinkock and Ronisha Simpson from the women's track team. We'll talk a little bit about last weekend. First coach, David Noble relays 17 qualifying marks. You and I talked on Monday that you didn't really realize how good of a meet we had. What was your feeling at the end of the night after rain delay and the multi kids had been out there since Wednesday afternoon, it felt like?
My first feeling was I'm really tired. It was a great weekend. You know, I think we saw some good performances scattered throughout the day. But, you know, and there's always one or two performances that kind of stick out. And then we kind of take that a few moments at the end of the night to have a team meeting, and you know there was a lot of really good performances and a lot that I didn't get to see in the throws, you know, some of the stuff in the disc and the hammer. I kind of miss all of those things just because I'm down on the track doing different things, but I was shocked in a really, really pleasant way.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a different setup. Like the discus is right there but outside, but the pole vault and the shot put's right there at the field at Angelus. Yeah. It's a little bit different than most places we go, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, as big of a meet as it is, it's very a friendly meet. The kids can get down on the infield and warm up. So you see bodies moving all day long, and you just kind of lose track of who's competing and who's warming up. It's just kind of a big pit of people, and it's kind of tough to pick out performances between that, except for when you hear a big roar or a lot of clapping. You know something good has happened somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't ask about other teams very often, but Daisy from Angelo had the longest discus throw in the history of Division II. When you say the roar goes up when something like that happens, was there one of those for that? Because
There was a few. I know I heard the one for Daisy, and I didn't see the disc, but I heard it was a great throw. It kept going, caught the wind just the right way, and best throw ever.
Yeah, but that usually means it's pretty good.
Then there was also another throw for Richard Cervantes from Kingsville. And I heard the roar and I glanced up and the discus was still out there just floating in the sky. And I just saw it turn over slightly and start coming down. And I knew something happened because there was a roar and then so he threw, I guess, what would have been a collegiate mark, but just landed on the sector line and was a foul.
Oh, man.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was just a really good weekend, not just for us, but every team that was there.
Yeah. Well, and then every team that was there wound up in the top 7 in the country in the women's side and the top 4 in the country in the men's side. That's a heck of a meet.
Yeah. You know, I was talking with Coach Dibbern out at Angelo State, and it's a fun place to go because we typically run pretty well there. But, you know, we said that's probably about as a competitive normal season meet as you can really get. I mean, that's 4 of the top teams in the nation on the men's side and the women's side, almost the same thing. And then you throw in some of the best junior colleges in the nation. Just got an atmosphere that is right for big marks.
Ronisha, you're a sprinter, for people who don't know, 400, 200, and the 4x4 relay, and we'll get more into that as it goes. But so most of those are later in the day. Do you take that chance to watch all the other events in the meet, or are you wrapped up in your headphones? What's kind of your meet day ritual like?
My meet day ritual would be chilling, trying to get my mind right for the 4, because that's my most challenging event in my head. I have to get mentally prepared for it, so I'm just laid back, trying to get my mind right, listening to music. I might laugh here or there, dance a little.
Dance a little, good. I was going to say, I know our team. Dance a little means dance a lot.
Dance a little. Joke around with my team, basically.
So how early, and this is kind of to both of you, because I know the transportation, especially for a road meet, is a little different. I mean, for instance, East Texas Invitational this weekend, the running events don't start till 5:30, and the 4 is a little bit down the list, and then the 4x4, the mile relay is the next to last thing before the 10K at our meet. So you've got a long day. How early do you get there for something like that? And I know Coach will be there at like 6 in the morning. But, you know, how early do you like to get to the track ahead of your races?
Well, I do like to go when the running events start, because I like to cheer on my teammates. So I'll probably be there at like when the running events start, the 4x1, to join my teammates.
And then how much of a team atmosphere, how close is your team? Because you're our first women track athlete we've had on here on the show, I believe. Mm-hmm. We've had Flo on here. I don't think we had anybody in the fall semester. We had Brandy during cross country season. But so, I mean, with your sport especially, you've got your event group and your team. It's almost like having a football team with a position group and everything. And so you're a team, but you're so spread out. But, you know, all the marks have gone up in every event group this year. Everybody seems to be doing better at everything. How tight is this women's team especially?
I would say the women's team would be really tight. Like, when we talk to each other, we're like, okay, you're doing this wrong, but you got this. You can do better than what you're doing. So it's like we critique each other, but not in a bad way. So I would say we're really close.
And then, Coach, same question. You've got, it seems like, 18 teams on your hands between the different event groups and guys and girls and cross country and indoor and outdoor. Like, if you break it down like that, you're coaching more teams than anybody in America probably. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting dynamic for a coach, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you have to spend a lot of time through the fall, you know, late August, early September, kind of getting to know each individual and then how that individual can operate within a group. And as I do that, you know, there's some common threads that weave through all the groups, and that's really how I try to coach, you know, 5 or 6 event groups as one, is just find that common thread amongst them, you know, and continue to use that thread to pull them together. Because ultimately, Ronisha doesn't win the track meet. Ronisha doesn't win a championship. It's every single one of them and all of their contributions coming together at the end of the day that make a track meet great.
Ronisha coming into this year, the 4x4 relay team wins the conference championship at 3:45, and then you go to indoors, and it's the first time we've had a relay team for the women indoors at Nationals in a while, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
So, and that was one of the later events in the prelims and everything, and it's your first national meet. You've been in that arena before because we go to the meets there, but what was kind of the mentality with you and your team, your relay team, going into that relay at Nationals?
Well, we all were thinking, just do our part. And if we did our part, we would run the time and get the results back that we wanted. So we were going into the meet, and we were like, we got this. We can be one of the best teams out here if we just do our part as an individual, but also take care of each other as a team. So,
and then as it's going, you wind up finishing 5th in the race, and really competitive race, and I thought 5th was really good for just about any team, especially a team that hadn't been there before. As it's going in your head, do you think, how much attention are you paying to the splits that come up on the board, especially in a smaller place like that? It's not quite, it's right there on top of you, not like at an outdoor meet. Are y'all seeing that, and you're running across the infield yelling at each other? How does the relay dynamic work?
Well, for me, after I'm running, I'm pooped. So I'll probably glance up and be like, go. And then after that, that's probably my last breath. But I'll cheer for my teammates after I get done running.
And then in that anchor leg, as you realize you're coming to All-American status and everything's right there, like, do you catch a second wind kind of and get that adrenaline going?
Yes. I get excited when it comes to anchor leg. And I look up, and as she crosses the finish line, we get the time that we want. So I'm like, yes.
I'm sure that's exactly what you say. It's only yes, right?
Yeah.
So, and then coming into the outdoor season, and I'm looking at the time progression here on the relay. I mean, it's about, fair to say, about halfway through the outdoor season at this point. And it went from 3:50 to 3:47, 3:48 to 3:42, and the 4th best time in the country over the course of 3 weeks. What's the big, is there a big change? Is it a subtle change? Is it handoffs? Like, what's the difference between the beginning of that season and the middle of the season so far?
I would say for me, I just had to get out of my head and race. And that's all. I just had to get my mind together. And previously, I think I got a little too cocky. I was like, oh, we got this in the bag. But I had to humble myself and basically work harder at practice to get the results back that we wanted.
Yeah, she's not telling a story there. we ran well at UTA. As I mentioned before, we kind of got back into some heavy training and had heavy legs, and it's not uncommon for us to go to that first early season meet and run slower than we did indoors.
It's 2 weeks after indoor nationals.
Yeah, so, you know, we're kind of in a reloading phase, and they still ran well. The next week, we went to Texas Relays, and we ran 3:47, and we ran better. But they walked off the track, and I don't even know if I said good job, and I might have said it a little more colorful, but I said, we got to race. Like, we can't just go out there and run, because that's not going to cut it at this level. And I know the goals that they have in the indoor season that they had, what their potential really is to do in this outdoor season. And I think that was kind of her humbling moment, where she would kind of just realize, you know, I just ran a 400 today. I didn't really race that 400. I didn't try to do it for my team. And we saw that this weekend. They came out and threw it down.
And then now we get another chance to do it at home, the only home meet of the year this year, because conference is on the road this year. And for me, that's a new thing, but I'm sure that a lot of people, that's fairly normal. How excited are you to run at home? And if I remember right, last year was on Easter weekend too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there's nobody around. We're actually going to have people there. There's going to be a good crowd. It's going to be a little chilly, but it's not going to be boiling hot. So there's not as many excuses. There's not really excuses for people not to come watch, especially with the kind of season we've been having. How excited are you and your teammates to run at home?
I'm really excited. Like, I love the track meet atmosphere, and since we're home, I know it's going to be even better. So
I like that tone of voice. Just like, I'm so excited. Like, just can't even wait. Coach, same thing. Having a home meet for you and I and the operations crew, it's a little more stressful because you're in charge of the whole thing. But it is awesome to be able to run at home, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this may, just kind of looking at the entries we've already got coming through, I think it's going to be a really good weekend. You know, I'm hoping the weather stays as is or gets a little warmer. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But the meet's grown in size. I think, you know, some of the bad weather that's going through.
What are some of the other schools that are coming, just for anybody?
Tarleton State. They're always really good. They come and visit here every single year. Dallas Baptist will be here. UT Tyler, UT Arlington. I was just looking through this. It's Wiley College.
So that men's 4x4 then. If Wiley's coming, Wiley won the Texas Relays ahead of our men's 4x4 with one of the best times in the country. So that's going to be blazing.
Yeah, so I mean, when I looked this morning, we have representation from Division I, Division II, and Division III, and the NAI. So
any JUCOs? Because then that gets everybody.
You know, I didn't check.
We might have all five divisions.
So, yeah, and we have a good number of unattached athletes competing, and it should be a really quality meet.
Including one potential unattached shot put thrower right here.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
I got to put in my $20 to see it. the East Texas Invitational, for those of you watching, the field events scheduled to start at 11 a.m. both in Memorial Stadium and at the Kane Complex. Running events will start at 5:30 and then on a rolling schedule. So check the schedule. There's not really a set time because there's a lot of heat, a lot of people, and we got to get through it, and we don't want to keep you here until 2 in the morning. So just show up at 5 and
stay.
Get a seat. We've got concessions. I hear there will be hot chocolate because it is supposed to be a little chilly.
Perfect.
See, that's perfect. So, all right, Ronisha, we got to learn a little bit more about you before we let you go.
This is going to be the fun part.
Yeah, this is always the fun
part. I'm getting comfortable now.
So, what's your major, first off?
Human performance.
What do you want to do with that major? Why'd you choose it?
I want to become a physical therapist because after I tore my ACL, I had to go through the rehab phase. And I kind of just fell in love with it from there.
Awesome. What's on your playlist right now? What are you listening to get amped up? You don't have to say song names, just artist works too, because I know if I had an amp up playlist, I couldn't say too many of the song names on there.
I would say 21 Savage.
Okay, I'm going to have to add that to the list. Marcus, add it to my list. We'll put it on the list. It will not be on the softball warm-up playlist probably, if I had to guess. What's your what TV shows or Netflix shows or whatever have you been watching recently?
America's Next Top Model.
Okay, that's a first answer. That's a first for that answer here. And then here's a good one, and I didn't prepare her like I have everybody else. This is a very important, deep philosophical question. Are you ready?
I think so.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Well, the bun is kind of connected.
Yeah.
So I would say no.
Correct answer. We get to walk it off. Renisha Simpson, thank you very much. Coach George Pinkock, Lion track teams both in the top 10 and the first time ever for the women's team. And that gives us 8 teams out of 14 that have been in the top 10 at some point this season here in Lion Athletics. So congratulations to the ladies. Hopefully we keep that thing moving even higher. I think 15, it was 15 marks accounted for the women towards the rankings, and 14 of them were new last week. So that means we're moving in the right direction. East Texas Invitational on Saturday. We look forward to hopefully seeing everybody there. We'll be right back after a very short break, and we'll have Coach Richie Brewster talk about Lions softball.
Hello, this is Alex Shiloh from the Lions football team. The Lion Champion Fund is the official support unit for Lion Athletics.
Donations to the LCF go directly to providing a best-in-class experience for all 436 Lion student-athletes. I am Sydney Reyes from the Lion volleyball team.
For more information about the LCF, you can visit lionchampionsfund.com.
Again, that's lionchampionsfund.com, and thank you for your best-in-class support.
All right, we are back on Lions Roar. Josh Mack, Associate AD for Communications and Marketing, with our head softball coach, Richie Brewster. Lions ranked 7th in the country now as the rankings came out today after the West, well, the rankings kind of part of the West Texas series, but we'll go with the full record, 32-5, 17-4 in conference. A week from today, the first regional rankings come out. 3 games last week. Let's start with the ones we don't like as much, and we'll end on a high.
That's fair enough.
It's the reverse order from the way the series went. But the weather played havoc on us. It was supposed to be Friday, Saturday, and then it turned into Saturday, Sunday, and then it eventually just turned into Sunday, Monday. But we got the games in, great weather.
That's right.
And then ended the bats. The temperature cooled down, and the bats did a little bit too, but I think you and I were talking earlier, there were some really, really good pitchers on both sides in the circle this weekend.
Yeah, they did. Essentially, for 3 games, they outpitched us. 2 of the 3.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll get to that other one in a minute.
we had opportunities, and that's what I told our team. I'm happy when we're getting opportunities, because that means eventually something good's going to happen for you. When you're not getting people on base, then you've got a problem. But we were getting them on. We just didn't get the timely hit. Colby, I think, said it best. He was watching live stats and keeping up with it. And he noticed our stat with runners in scoring position, and with 2 outs, our hitting, we were batting 0.
Yes. We noticed that as well.
So, not good for you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do that?
But part of that, there were hard hit balls at other players. Yep. There were a run cut down at the plate on a hard hit ball with the infield in, if I remember right. There's people making both sides great catches in the outfield. Right. Sierra's catch in game 2 on Sunday, if I remember correctly, up against the fence. Or was that the beginning of game 3?
It all starts to run
together.
That was game 3, robbing the home run there.
Yeah, right yep. against the mark at the top of the fence. I mean, there were some great defensive plays both sides as well. Yep. I mean, we kept some runs off the board as well.
We did. And they did the same thing, like you said. And we had some untimely things go against us. Mm-hmm. And, it's unfortunate. That's the way it ended up going. But, when you look at the course of a season, we've had a whole lot of good things go our way, and we just, for a couple of games, things didn't. And you hate for that to happen, but, again, we put ourselves in a situation to be able to score, be able to go ahead, and for that part's good.
Yeah, and, I mean, you look at a team like both teams coming into this series had 2 of the top offenses in the nation. I think we were both ranked in the top 5 in slugging, batting average, home runs. Don't remember about runs scored. But then you look at it, we scored 10 runs and they scored 13 over 21 innings. I mean, that's dominant pitching and defense on 2 of the best hitting teams in the country both ways.
That's right, because both of us averaging around 8 runs a game coming in. So you did. Team batting average was .387.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. They left .367, so that tells you how good our pitching was. We dropped them 20 points in their team average this late in the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't week 2. This is I think 11. Yeah,
that's right. And I think we dropped 7 points on ours.
That's not insignificant. But
that's right.
From this late in the year, that's pretty tough to do.
Yes. So we're 357 to 350.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, let's rewind it a little bit to Sunday afternoon. Emily Otto has had a great season. You expect good things when she gets in the circle now as a freshman. And then she goes out and pitches the first 7-inning no-hitter in school history. She hits a batter in the first inning, down in order in the second, hit by pitch and a walk, so two runners on in the third. And at that point in the third inning, before the Lions put up four runs in the fourth, nobody scored. It's still a little tense. Mm-hmm. As the game goes, you get the feeling, like, we don't believe in the broadcaster's jinx upstairs. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure they weren't in the dugout, though. But
no.
As you see it happening, does the feeling like, oh my gosh, this is actually going to happen, increase? Or is it more of a, all right, how are they going to find a way to sneak one through? Like, it seems like every team always finds a way to sneak one through when there's no hitter going, and it just didn't happen.
Yes. It's very nerve-wracking sitting on the bench, because you do, as most of us are very superstitious in yes. our sport, and so you don't want to change anything. But the good thing, I have to give props to Coach Kaysen, because previous two no-hitters that were thrown, he talked about it during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know what my response was.
Shut up.
Yes. He's like, what? That ain't no big deal. And throws a no-hitter. So he doesn't feel that way. So that's good from your pitch caller to do that. And then, obviously, you know, she made adjustments as she needed to during the game and had a great game plan going in. And you had to have some really good defensive plays mm-hmm. behind her for that to happen. So not only did she make the pitches, but you had some, you know, one sticks out there, and I believe the seventh inning, Monica went in the 4-3 hole there. Made a nice play.
On the backhand side, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yep.
And then, I mean, it's a 6-run win eventually, 6-0. No errors on either side. Lions have 12 hits in the game. We've had 6-run wins before, but normally, especially in this conference, I mean, we've talked about these batting averages. It's an offensive conference.
Mm-hmm.
How much more tense was this 6-run victory than most 6-run victories?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like it's 1-0. Because you know at any point they can hit a 3-run home run or something mm-hmm. like that. So you can't put anybody on base, because anybody through the lineup can hit a home run. And so you're really glad when that last out's made. Yes.
Now we hit the road, get on the plane tomorrow, fly to El Paso, drive the 3 hours to Western New Mexico on a little bit of a downswing, two losses, but I mean, not necessarily dream killers by any stretch of the imagination. No. Still ranked seventh in the country, still probably, I would say, easily one of the top four teams in the region, depending on how that phone call goes.
Right.
The first official one's not released until next week. So, you know, how do you swing that momentum as a coach from a two-loss swing into a tough road trip? Because even if they're not a top team,
yes,
that's a long way out there
right.
in a weird place.
Yeah, and they're a Lone Star school.
Yeah.
And they should have beat Angelo early in the year. They had them 3-1 with two outs in the seventh.
Things that people don't remember from week one.
Yes. And so they're a solid team, and they've got a, you know, almost a .290 team batting average. So they're going to put up some runs. And but it's good for us to – you know, hopefully get the taste out of our mouth,
mm-hmm.
You know, get back on the field, get back in good rhythm, all that kind of good thing. So you need to get out there as quick as you can and forget about that series, learn from it. And that's what we'll do today at practice. We'll have a new intensity focus about us. And so therefore we are ready to go this weekend.
Is that having that kind of a speed bump in the season? I mean, you've been coaching a while. Have you seen this before help a team in the long run?
Absolutely, because you're going to learn from your mistakes. Any good team does, and so we're definitely going to take the positives from it. Change practice up a little bit, because when you're on a roll like we were on, you don't want to change much.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep doing the same thing, but you start seeing little things show up. Do you address it? Do you not address it? You don't want to put too much pressure on, and then now we got to change some stuff and look at some things differently, and we have the opportunity now to do that.
Looking at the Lone Star Conference standings going into the season, A&M Commerce tied with Angelo State for first place at 17-4 in the league. West Texas also has four losses, but they did not play their series against Texas Woman's.
That's right.
So they've got 14 wins, and Tarleton at 17-7, so they're a series ahead. They will have an off week somewhere in there. That's four teams right there, and Cameron's only got eight losses, too. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's really tight right there. But that's four teams with over 30 wins in the regular season right there.
Just amazing. I was talking to Coach Scott at Angelo yesterday. I said, have you ever seen the conference this tough? It's always tough, but to have, like you just said, four teams, 30 wins.
Yeah, I mean, Tarleton's sitting on 38. They've already played 46 games.
That's right. And so it's just amazing. And we knew that going in. That I really felt like the top teams were better, and even the middle of the road is tough. And, well, you know, we saw Kingsville come in. Kingsville's a really good team.
Yeah, they had 2 1-run games against us. They're 9-12 in the league, two games over 500 overall.
That's right. And could easily flip-flop that. So it's the toughest I've ever seen the conference. And, you know, in the new rankings, it's, we've got five teams in our region. So it's not only our four that are 7 through 16,
and then the number one team in the country undefeated. That's that right. Means there's probably a sixth team, because based on that, the way that poll works, only five teams of her region are available to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably a sixth or seventh team just sitting there knocking at the door.
That's exactly right.
But the top's just so top heavy. That's the way the rules are.
Yes.
Does that make it more stressful as a coach, or does it make it more fun?
Ooh, I'd like to say both. I mean, you know what you're getting every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no let up with that. And, but certainly, yes, it's more stressful because you can't slip up, you know, and, but you got to handle that the right way. You can't treat it like, oh, we can't mess up, because obviously you're going to mess up when you do that a lot of times.
You don't want to get in your own head too much, like Ranisha was talking about during the track interview.
Right. And I think we've really done a good job all year of treating every game, you know, because they're all important. You know, the first game of the season, you're in region non-conference, is just as important as your conference games. And so that's been our mindset the entire year. So that prepares you, you know, for the Lone Star Conference gauntlet that you have to run through.
Yeah, three more weeks of it right here coming up at Western New Mexico, then home against Angelo State. We'll definitely be talking about that next Wednesday, senior weekend, with our first, and I don't mean this is our first full senior class,
that's
our first
right.
four-year senior class. We'll talk about that next week a little bit more in depth. And then closing the regular season at Texas Women's. And then, I mean, everything's going to come down to that last weekend. I don't think anybody's going to be able to pull away for that conference tournament hosting spot by then. It's going to be
that way.
Not this year, at least.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Coach Brewster. Safe travels out to Silver City. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. We'll have one of your student athletes in here. We'll try to get a senior.
Sounds good.
We'll work on that. Lions at Western New Mexico. This weekend on Friday and Saturday. All of our information on lionathletics.com. Also, another shout-out, men's golf team picking up their third win of the year at Arkansas Fort Smith by 3 strokes yesterday. We'll probably talk to them next week in preparation for the Lone Star Conference Championship, which is in 2 weeks. I mean, it's one of those, end of the year is kind of sneaking up on you. It feels like spring break was last week, but no, it's end of the year sneaking up on us. So lots to talk about. Follow us online, lionathletics.com, and all our social media channels. For Ronisha Simpson, Coach George Pincock, and Coach Richie Brewster, I'm Josh May. We'll catch you next week on Lions Roar.